Welcome to the I Lead Podcast, a podcast dedicated to developing you into the leader that can lead in any room. Your host and guide is Dr. G. Vincent Dudley, Sr. Dr. Dudley is a leader of leaders. He has his Ph.D. in organizational leadership. He earned his Doctor of Ministry with a focus on entrepreneurship and church planting. He is a John Maxwell Associate Trainer and an adjunct professor for strategic leadership at North Central University. Dr. Dudley retired from the Air Force as a lieutenant colonel. He has started several businesses, but his greatest achievement is that of founding senior pastor of New Life, one of the fastest-growing churches in the St. Louis metropolitan area. Let's join Dr. Dudley and co-host Jeffrey II for another instructional, inspirational, and informative session.
Welcome to iLeadAcademy.net podcast. My name is Dr. Dudley, and I am of many things, and many hats that I wear. One of them is an adjunct professor at North Central University for strategic leadership, retired Air Force officer, as well as an associate trainer for John Maxwell. I would like today to talk about and to teach you about how to grow a leader. It is one of John Maxwell's trainers, training tools, and I like to share that tool with you today. And you can get the note taker just by following the directions in terms of getting it off of our website and follow along. Or you can just listen along as well. I think both ways you're going to learn how to grow a leader. How do you grow a leader? And let's look at 1 Peter 5, 2 through 30. 1 Peter 5, 2 through 30. Just going to read a portion of that, and I think that it will amplify and give us the biblical basis of our teaching today. How to grow a leader. Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for selfish gain, but with eagerness, nor yet as lording over those allotted to your charge, but providing or proving to be examples to the flock. But proving to be examples of the flock. That's 1 Peter 5, 2 through 30, just lifting a portion of that out to be the biblical basis of our teaching, how to grow a leader. One of the first things I think you need to grab a hold of is that a leader develops followers. And as a result of developing followers, a leader who develops followers does addition. But a leader who develops leaders does multiplication. A leader who develops a follower, in other words, the more followers you get, you're just adding. But you change the game when you start developing leaders. Then you begin to multiply. You begin to multiply. It's a force multiplier. I remember Sam Chan said to me in visiting a church once, he said that, you know, the way you grow a church is to grow leaders. And I thought about that. I thought about the fact that, you know, Jesus turned the world upside down, changed the world with 12 people. He developed 12 people and changed the world. Now, of course, we're talking about the fact that he did die. He was raised from the dead and ascended on high. It's coming again. We know that, but I want to point to this whole piece about what did he do? What was the praxis of his leadership? He took 12 people and turned the world upside down. He multiplied because he developed leaders. How to grow a leader? Let me give you three things. Three things at the very beginning. One, discern when you're looking for a leader. You got to find the leader before you can grow the leader. It takes one to know one. True leaders can identify other leaders. You know, it's a thing that we say, and it's kind of humorous sometimes. It says game, no game, player, no a player. Well, we don't want to get into all of that, but we do know the fact that, you know, once one person kind of knows another person, like spirits know like spirits. You know, you can kind of pick it out and you can see that if you are a leader, you can somewhat discern another leader. Second thing is, you have to demonstrate it. It takes one to show one. You have to demonstrate the fact that you are a leader by modeling it. If you are modeling it, then I guarantee you, you will be able to discern because others will be seeking you out as well. Now, when you have discerned it, seen a leader, and demonstrated by modeling your leadership and attracting others, then you can develop. It takes one to grow one. It takes one to show one, takes one to know one, and it takes one to grow one. True leaders equip others to lead. True leaders really equip others to lead. I've found that from a male point of view, this is not intended in any way to be a sexist statement. I think it is more or less, and if it is, please forgive me, but I believe that men go at leadership a little bit different, not better, but differently than women. Men tend to want to topple the leader. When they come in the room, the first thing we want to see is who is leading in here. Second thing they want to determine is, after they see who is the leader, can I topple him? Can I decapitate? Can I knock that person off of the mountain? And the third thing is, can I then assume that leadership? I think that's the competitive testosterone nature of many men. Women go about it very differently, thank God. Thank God. But at any rate, that is how you can determine, you can discern, you can demonstrate, you can develop. And but the job is not to dethrone someone, but to develop someone. Now, 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 26 goes even deeper into that. And so let's dig a little deeper and go a little further in how to grow a leader. So why don't we do it? Why don't we develop leaders? Because it's hard work. It's hard work. I want you to grab in 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 26, these metaphors and analogies that Paul uses. And I think we pull them out so that you can now grab a hold of what does it take to grow a leader. The first thing is you have to be a good trainer. You got to train. We are to train and equip faithful men to do what we have done. That's verses 1-2. This is Paul talking to Timothy. You have to train. You have to be a trainer. And training is about repetition, doing it over and over and over again. My 21 and a half years in the military is one thing that I learned is about this whole business of training. Man, if you want to be get tired of training, then don't go in the military. Because the military will continually train over and over and over again because they want to get you to a point that you do things instantaneously and automatically without thinking. And the only way you can do that is to train a person. Speaking of training and speaking of the military, the second thing that Timothy lifts up in verses 3-4 is that he says we are to endure hardship and stay focused on our mission. As a soldier, there's something about being a soldier. The Army says adapt and overcome. The military, the Air Force says flexibility is the key to air power. Every one of them has something that says about what does it mean to be a soldier, soldiering forth to get it done. And so Peter lifts this up, says you got to be able to deal with hardships. When you're looking for a leader, look for somebody that you can train. Look for someone that can deal with hardships as a soldier. And then here's the third thing, an athlete. This is what Peter says. He says, we ought to be disciplined and lead others with integrity. with integrity. You got to be athletic in terms of that. And what I mean by that is, you know, an athlete, an elite athlete will train and do something 10,000 times. We know well how Michael Jordan was such an excellent. He was the GOAT. He was the GOAT. And I don't want to get into a debate with all of the LeBron James and all of the other Magic Johnson and Wilt Chamberlain and Cassie Russell and all of those kinds of people out there from old school to new school to not even graduated to school yet. But I like to just lift up the fact that they've done the research and says an elite athlete or an elite person in any field would have done something at least 10,000 times. Michael Jordan had shoot free throws so many times that we know well the time when he closed his eyes during the game and shot the free throw and made it. That's an elite athlete, and that comes as a result of discipline, the discipline of an athlete. The fourth thing to grow and develop leaders is, as Paul writing to Timothy said in verses 6-7, we are to work hard like farmers, growing the people in our care. Work hard like farmers. Farmers get up early, go to bed late. They get up before the sun and go to sleep after the sun sets. Farmers pay attention to the seeds that they plant. The church that I'm have been so honored to serve as a senior pastor, we have one member who's a farmer, stays down the street from the church. And I often talk about the fact that he's the only farmer that I know. And but when I drive by his farm, I can see that he gets up early, stays up late. My dad grew up on a farm, and my dad often talks about the fact that his farmer days as a boy gave him the work ethic, and man, he was a hard worker. And that's what it takes when you're growing and developing leaders, that you're planting seeds and you're watching them develop and grow in people. The fifth thing is you got to be a worker. You got to be a worker. Verse 15 says we are to study and labor to handle God's word accurately. You have to study as a worker. Study hard. When I was working on my PhD in organizational leadership at Regents University, I learned even more beyond my military days what it meant to work hard. I'd get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I would read, I would post my dialogues, I would do papers from 3 o'clock in the morning to about 8, or even sometimes up till about 9 o'clock. And then I would go into my day as doing my regular job as a senior pastor. Didn't get a lot of sleep then, but I had to work very hard. And that's what it takes when you are developing a leader and growing a leader. You got to work at it. Peter, Paul said the second thing to Peter, and this is in verses 20-21. He says, we are to stay pure so God can use us for his highest purposes. We've got to stay pure. We have to be a vessel that is fit for use. Got to be a vessel that's fit for use. Now, interestingly enough, when I was working on my PhD in organizational leadership, I still worked out. I still went to the gym. I still did those kinds of things. I cut back on some things sometime, but I still got on my Peloton bike and I still worked out in the home and in the gym because there, I felt very strong that I had to make sure that my vessel was still fit and ready. And that's what it requires when you are growing and developing leaders. You have to know that you're working with a vessel and that that leader needs to be ready to be fit and pure and ready to move forward. Now, Paul mentions another thing to Timothy. He says that we ought to submit and stay humble, being kind to all people. In other words, he's saying you have to have the spirit of a bondservant. A spirit of a bondservant is someone who gives themselves to others to the degree that they lose who they are. That they are so willing to give up themselves. The bondservant is a person in scripture that refers to someone who takes an owl. An owl is the little thing that, you know, you have on your shoes. If you look at your shoes have eyelets on them. There's a machine that makes those eyelets that you put the strings through. And that's called an owl. And you take that owl and you then punch holes in material, leather, whatever the case may be. Now, a bondservant was someone who was willing to take, to permit their master to take an owl and stick it through their ear as an earring to really show that they were committed to them, that they were committed to them. And growing and developing leaders, you have to be a bondservant and so committed to growing others to that point. You want to be able to do that. To the point that they know that you are committed to them.
It is our hope that you have been inspired and informed to be the leader that you want to be. To ensure that you are able to lead in any room, go to iLeadAcademy.net and enroll today. Now, let's return to our broadcast.
Effective leadership is not an easy task. Effective leadership is not an easy task. It's the most challenging task of all leadership tasks. To grow more leaders. It's tough. It's hard. Potential leaders are challenging to find, number one. They are challenging to guide. It reminds me of them saying, I remember when I was in the Air Force and I was an Air Force chaplain, and I had a boss that would always say, you know, herding chaplains or other leaders is like herding cats. It's hard to herd a whole lot of leaders, but you got to do it to develop them. They are challenging to train, but you must do it. The future of the church, the future of your organization, the future of anything that you are involved with is determined by your ability to discover, develop, and deploy leaders. Now, how are there some distinguishing things about leaders that you can find and determine? One of the distinguishing things is this. I'm going to give you five things about leaders who develop followers and leaders who develop leaders. Leaders who develop followers tend to be insecure. They just need somebody following them. And the fact that to have another leader beside them or maybe in front of them is quite threatening. But a leader who develops leaders is a secure person. They're a secure person. They have a great EQ, if you will, emotional quotient. They know that they have a great deal of self-awareness of their emotions, how their emotions affect others, and the others' emotions. They have a great self-awareness. They're secure. The second thing that leaders who develop followers, their vision is no bigger than themselves. They cannot get out of their own way. They're preoccupied with themselves. Leaders who develop leaders, a vision bigger than themselves. It's bigger than themselves because it's not about them. It's about the vision that has been given to them for their organization. And leaders who develop followers are selfish. They're selfish. They're self-centered. It's all about them. Well, you guessed it. Leaders who develop leaders are unselfish. They're selfless. They're selfless. They give of themselves. Leaders who develop followers are natural leaders in as much as that they have a great deal of overconfidence in their natural ability. Because leaders who develop leaders, they learn leadership. You know, leadership is a learned behavior. And you may have some things that are instinctively come that you may have a little edge up on a person here or there in terms of when you come into this earth. But leadership is something that can be developed and learned beyond one's natural ability. Leaders who develop followers, chief enjoyment is praise of others. They just relish the stroking of other people. They can't wait, and they are somewhat miffed and put off when people do not praise them and stroke them for what they're doing. Leaders who develop leaders, their chief enjoyment, the growth of others. The growth of others. So how do you identify a leader? Let's walk through a few things here. Let's walk through a few things on how you develop and identify leaders. 10 things that we want to just walk through. Potential leaders will influence others. They will influence others. You want to develop and find a leader and then turn that person into a greater leader. Look in the room and see who everybody's talking to. See who's hosting the conversation. This is the most consistent fact about leaders. Note who they influence, how many they influence, and when they influence others. If you find a crowd, then now listen to the voice in that crowd, and that will tell you who is the leader who has the potential of being developed. Number two, they are hungry to make things better and are willing to change. They enjoy making progress and become restless with things remaining. They connect with people. If you find somebody that has the ability to connect with others, then you've got a leader. And now it's just up to you to identify them and develop them and deploy them. The fifth thing is they work well under pressure. You know, crisis, and right now we're looking at a crisis that the nation is involved with. In fact, the entire world with the pandemic of the coronavirus, Corona 19. And the thing that we find a crisis will reveal who you really are. They say that same thing about money. You know, they say, if I just get enough money, I'm going to do this, that, or the other. And I'm going to give this, I'm going to give that. But I found that if you're not giving what you with the money that you have, when you ship finally comes in, you're not going to do much different. Because money and more of money just gives you more of an opportunity to show everybody who you really are. The same thing about a crisis. A crisis will reveal who you are. And that's what a leader works well under pressure. Number six is they are problem solvers. You can judge a leader by the size of problems he or she handles. People almost always pick a problem that is their own size, like a bully, if you will. You know, I'm going to pick at somebody that's smaller than me so I can show how big I am. But a leader goes after the biggest problem in the room, goes after the biggest problem in the organization. Because they are so results oriented, they want to be judged and graded by how well they do in solving a problem. Number seven, when they communicate, they get people to think, feel, and act differently. They are effective communicators. A good leader, and you can identify one by identifying how well they communicate. How well do they communicate? Do they use language that everybody can relate to? Is it sentence structure? Is their words that they pick? Is the vocabulary is of such that it reaches everybody in the room? Or does it just reach a few? You know, if you are trying to reach everybody in the room, reach the person on the back pew in the back row, and you'll get everybody between you and that back row. The way you identify a leader is you got to be confident. You have to be confident. Potential leaders believe they can make a difference and want to prove it. They want to prove it. They want to prove it. That's why in number nine, they possess a positive attitude. It's hard to find a leader that's always whining. Because that really isn't a leader. Somebody that's always the victim. Somebody that says, woe is me, for I'm undone. Trust me, that's not a person that you want to identify as a leader. Leadership has to be has more to do with an attitude than a position. It has more to do with an attitude than a position. Potential leaders have a pockets.